We're about to discuss the stages of meditation. Now, we have talked up to this time about the life of the person who is working in Libra. And that life is not necessarily dramatic. It can be a quiet interlude. It can be static. It can be thoughtful. It can be a great attempt to make a very important decision between spiritual orientation and material orientation, probably at first in Libra, arriving there clockwise. The weighing up leads to definite material decision. And that materiality is pursued in Virgo under the keynote, "Let matter reign." But with repeated cyclic arrival in the sign Libra, it is possible that the intuition of the presence of the soul makes itself felt, and when there is arrival in the Virgo, it is valued then in Libra, and when there is arrival in the Virgo life, the germination of the Christ principle will occur, rather than living a strictly personal, material life. I know the Buddha examined, so the story goes, his many lives when sitting under the Bodhi tree, and he saw them with great clarity. I know some of us who are astrologically oriented will have our own Bodhi tree one day, and perhaps we will be able to see our lives from the astrological, rheological perspective and study the progress or the lack thereof or the retrogression as a spiritual scientist would study these things and learn a great deal about how the energies work, how they were applied or not applied or misapplied. I think it will be quite a revelation, because after all is known. The record does reveal these things. All is known and accessible to our understanding, given sufficient research and the development of sufficient ability to see these things. So there are five stages of meditation. We have just spoken of them: concentration, meditation, contemplation, illumination, inspiration, each one of them correlated with the human signs of the zodiac. This is the man working his way from becoming a realized individual to becoming a one-pointed disciple who's on the verge of entering another kingdom altogether, and finally becoming more than a human being. Although it is said that only at the third initiation is the animal nature really overcome, in that battle between Vulcan and Mars, I believe, and only then can the human being really be said to be a true human being and not quite influenced by the animal nature. So with Leo, the most human of all the signs we have been told, we have concentration. The soul life is focused in form. The individualized human being appears. So, as he says, individualization, a specific representation of soul life on the higher planes working through the lower vehicles, quite undeveloped, even as the soul body at this point is quite undeveloped. We have at first self-consciousness, maybe realized only 3 million years, DK tells us, after individualization actually occurred. It was a very slow awakening here. We have here the undeveloped and average man, and in general, human experience. Of course, Leo is also operative on many higher turns of the spiral and gives us magnificent disciples and initiates. But he's just talking about the human side, Leo being the most human of all the astrological signs and the sign in which one of the signs, along with Gemini, in which individualization occurred. The creating of the distinct individual, distinct from the group soul in which animal man had been evolving, distinct from the mass, on its own, a point, a unity. So there is the concentration of all the higher potentials in a specific form in the lower worlds. And this form has self-consciousness. This is the keynote of Leo. But there's a long stage of development which one has to pass through. And the lower ego reigns supreme for millions of years. And we pass through human experience in the fourth kingdom of nature. Okay. Then we come to Virgo. Now, Virgo is associated with the second phase of meditation, which DK calls meditation itself. Unless you can concentrate, you cannot meditate. So first things first, we notice that these are the two signs of the Sphinx. And the beginning of soul life, the higher of the pairs of opposites begins to emerge. Soul life begins to be sensed by the man, maybe not the fullness of the soul on its own plane, but something different within the consciousness, and it is gradually growing, this something other, this something opposite to what is usually sensed, and it's called then the gestation period. It's not a physical gestation in this case, it's a psycho-spiritual gestation. This is the stage of the hidden Christ. It's still an early stage in the overall meditation process. It's a preliminary. The Christ is still hidden within the depths of matter, is not free, is not full-grown, is not fully self-realized. But Virgo, being a Mercurian sign and so often associated with the concrete mind, intelligent man is emerging. And that intelligence can be used to help the Christ principle grow. Personality is found here, the material aspect, but it's the personality which hides the Christ life. It's not the personality living unto itself alone. Something is germinating. It's the great analogy here. It's the great metaphor. We are bringing consciousness to birth, even as the woman brings the physical child to birth. So we begin to ponder, to dwell, to think, and we can do that in a concentrated manner. And this meditative process is helping the soul within us become ever more conscious and stronger and occupy a greater share of our conscious life. Then we are entering here the stage of meditation which is particularly associated with the sign we are discussing. It's Libra, contemplation in Libra. The life of soul and form is balanced. Well, that's a general statement about Libra. Neither dominates, and so there is equilibrium. An interlude, and this is interesting, wherein soul organizes itself for battle, and the personality waits. So there is a deep inner process occurring. Perhaps unknown to the personality. This is the stage of the probationary path. The soul force within the personality is not yet strong enough to dominate the personality. But it is becoming stronger all the time, and the pairs of opposites are better known. There's a more, let's say, a clearer knowledge of pairs of opposites. Now, he's not saying too much about contemplation per se here. he's talking about the life as led by the Lieben individual. But the higher type of Lieben individual can bring about a kind of merging of the meditator with that upon which he is meditating. So contemplation is the merging of meditator and the object of meditation. So it is not simply, the object of meditation is not treated objectively entirely. The blending and fusing begins to occur so that the meditator finds himself within the object of meditation and identified as the object of meditation, and thereby learning about that object from the inside out. Learning about the object of meditation from the inside out. So it's not the strictly scientific objective analytical approach, it's a participatory. And also, there is a waiting for what the soul thinks. In Virgo, we carry our meditative thought as far as we can, and then wait. This is something that Libra is probably very good at doing, and Aries, the opposite sign, is very bad. We wait for the voice of intuition to speak, for the voice of the soul, for the golden, still, small voice, the voice of intuition to speak. And that voice, or visual speech, will throw light upon the object of meditation. In Alice Bailey's book, From Intellect to Intuition, this contemplative state is dealt with in a manner which will be helpful to relatively advanced meditators, those that can actually contemplate. Actually, contemplation is quite a high stage. But it's let's just say it's subjective. It's a more subjective form of meditation. It's a getting inside the object and identifying with it. And so it is participation in the meditation of the soul. So one is not just meditating as a personality. One slips into meditation of the soul in the contemplative state. So we can see there are a number of different ways, alternatives here of viewing what contemplation is. But it definitely reveals more of the reality of the object of contemplation than the preliminary stage of meditation. It's kind of a juncture point for participation in the life of the soul as the soul. And then we move on to the stage of illumination. Interestingly, illumination is a word usually associated with Taurus, but here also with the sign opposite Taurus, Scorpio, the sign usually, often, of darkness, and then darkness breaking finally into light. So this is an axis of illumination, of darkness and light, but of eventual illumination, the Taurus-Scorpio axis. Scorpio, illumination, the soul triumphs in the light. Experience in Taurus is consummated. One type of consummation, of course. There are ever higher consummations in Taurus on the higher, on the elevating turns of the spiral. The astral glamour is dissipated. So let's just say the mind is employed. Mind is powerfully employed. It is the beam of mental light which dissipates glamour. Soul light pours in. Scorpio is related to the path of discipleship more than any other sign. Sagittarius participating there too for the one pointed disciple, and this is the disciple. So, you know, lead us from darkness to light. This is key. Lead us from darkness to light. Well, also, from the unreal to the real, that happens in Scorpio. And from death to immortality, that happens in Scorpio. So many of these lead us mantras, the first three of them anyway, have much to do with Scorpio. So we've been waiting in Libra for what the soul may say. We've been trying to meditate as the soul, and now the light of the soul breaks forth. The soul speaks. The soul shines. The response comes to our waiting in Libra. Usually we consider, you know, the dark night of the soul, darkness and death, the black pits of hell, the realm of Mara, all of these are Scorpionic, but eventually the light which prevails in Scorpio is, after all, the light of day. So illumination is fitting here. The final, it's taking me back now to the decanates of Scorpio, when Alan Leo has given Mars, Jupiter, and the Moon, but the Moon is possibly the veil for Vulcan, and Vulcan is a planet of intense light, a very powerful form of radiation which comes when the will enters the picture. So I think we can see if Vulcan is, can be thoughtfully assigned as the veiled planet, veiled by the Moon in the third decanate, then the breaking forth of the light is to be expected, and the bright glory of Hera, Hercules, there will be a triumph in the light of day at the end of the Scorpio experience. This will be the victory. So that's one of those connections which seems interesting and justifiable. The breaking forth of the light under Moon, Vulcan, with Heracles as the bright glory of Hera, the soul. So that is the victory here. It's the victory in the light, the light which reveals the illusory nature of the great Maya. Okay. So, Leo, concentration, Virgo, meditation, Libra, contemplation. It's as if, you know, in Libra, the soul and the object are now equals. They are the same thing, really. And it's possible to begin to merge identity there. It's a kind of a marriage relationship in the meditative process. Then, Scorpio, illumination, and finally, Sagittarius is giving an interesting word, inspiration. You know, you think about breathing in Gemini, breathing in a god in Gemini. Breathing in fire. This has to do with fire breathing. God is fire. The breathing in of the god of fire. It looks like both Sagittarius and Gemini are related to the breathing process. Both Gemini and Sag related to the breathing process. This is preparation for initiation, at which time you will enter into the fifth kingdom of nature. Finally and completely at the third degree, although there are still human elements, maybe mastership is the complete maturity in the fifth kingdom. But we have to breathe in the fire of God. So what we discover in meditation now affects in a fiery manner our entire energy system. What we discover of soul light and power in meditation now affects our entire energy system. Preparation for initiation in Capricorn, although a type of threshold initiation is occurring in Sagittarius 1 and 2, the soul inspires the personality life. Breath and fire enter. The soul expresses itself through the personality, which becomes galvanized and one-pointed, and we become the initiate. The initiate in Capricorn, but of a certain nature in Sagittarius. But what about meditation? It is, let's call this the result of illumination, is an inspiring of the whole energy system. We know how Sagittarius, interestingly, is involved in extension of our normal human capabilities. Think about the athletes that are so much found when Sagittarius is prominent. It is an athletic sign. It means to make the vehicle do more than you think it can. And that can be done under inspiration. Under inspiration, we can make the vehicle do more than we thought possible. So when a person is truly inspired, they have a great infusion of energy, which expands their capacity along any line. Might be physical, might be emotional, mental, or taking in the entirety of the personality. So there is a great reach here, a reach towards a higher state, a stretch under the power of inspiration, which leads to the sixth term, initiation in Capricorn. And I've added, cosmic astral plane, don't want that, Capricorn, initiation in Capricorn. I've added, I wish I could have kept the eyes, I don't know how to do it, but I've added for Aquarius, following initiation in Capricorn, universalization in Aquarius, and then a nice eye presented itself for the mnemonic in Pisces. Wow, I've got another eye. But anyway, identification in Pisces, but I just thought of another eye. I'm not sure we can relate it to the initiatory process, but let's just say invention in Aquarius, or reinvention. It is the creativity of the soul and of the fifth kingdom of nature. Invention. That would keep the mnemonic straight, and then there would be a number of these eyes. Individualization, well, let's see how it goes. Individualization would be for Leo. In any case, I guess they're not all eyes. But I will work to create a mnemonic which is useful in relation to these the sequence that goes from Leo to Pisces. I just need, yes, I suppose for Libra we have the word interlude. That's possible. We just need one for Virgo. We can have individualization for Leo. Interlude for Virgo. Illumination for Scorpio. Inspiration for Sagittarius. Initiation for Capricorn. Invention for Aquarius. And identification for Pisces. But rather than make this too neat, I think it's important to simply understand the progression of how we move from the personal, from the human orientation of the fourth kingdom of nature into becoming something more, members of the fifth. He says, I would here remind you that through initiation, though initiation is taken in Capricorn, the man is an initiate before he is initiated. So he seems to be suggesting that in consciousness, the man becomes initiate in Sagittarius and proves it through and through in Capricorn. So I think there are great flights of mind which are possible in Sagittarius, and the man does know what the higher initiatory mind is like. But can he bring this down onto the dense physical plane and make it an established fact through all of his vehicles? This, I think, is the task in Capricorn, particularly. And so this initiatory stage of consciousness must be established throughout the energy system. Sagittarius is said to rule the first and second initiations particularly, and also perhaps later initiations. But it's Capricorn that is the true sign of confirmed initiation. He tells us this is the true secret of initiation. We have to establish ourselves as the initiate and be confirmed in the state we have achieved. It seems that this confirmation will come in Capricorn, even though the initiate consciousness may well be achieved in Sagittarius. This seems to be what D.K. is hinting at here. Okay, let's move on. You have, therefore, the activity wherein the personality grows and develops, that is, in Virgo, I suppose, and yet at the same time it veils and hides the hidden man of the heart. Not merely the man of the mind, but the man of the soul, because the heart and soul are identical, D.K. tells us. So the personality grows and develops, and yet at the same time it veils and hides the hidden man of the heart, which is the Christ within each human form. So this is definitely the Virgo stage. A subtle sign, really, in which deep processes are at work in ways that are far from obvious. You then have the interlude wherein the point of balance is reached between the two, and neither is dominant. Well, perhaps we find then that this is the ideal sign for marriage, in which in a partnership there is full cooperation and respect for the nature of both parties, and neither dominates. This is perhaps the Venus way. Certain traditions seem to think the male should be dominant, always. Maybe other far more ancient traditions had the female as dominant. This is not a true Libran situation. Perhaps the female was dominant during the matriarchates in which Virgo was prominent in an earlier solar system. Perhaps the domination of the male occurs under Scorpio or maybe Capricorn. In any case, there is not a true balance. But in the process we are here describing, which is one of living and also one of meditating, we have a progression from Virgo to Libra. Let's see if he takes it further. Neither is dominant. The scales tip back and forth in either direction, or, as it is sometimes expressed, man swings between the pairs of opposites. But it's sometimes that's an enigmatic phrase, this swinging between the pairs of opposites. It would be good also to be able to consider another phrase which embodies the same idea, the scales tip back and forth. He is inclined towards one of the scales, or one of the poles, and then inclined towards another. And the swinging is interesting because it's not a stable position, is it? As he swings towards the soul, he may think he will stay there, but there is a movement which will take him back, draw him back. The swinging of the pendulum allows for no true stability in either of the extremes. Only at the central point, which Libra represents, will the pendulum stop its swinging. The final decision to activate the higher of the pairs of opposites comes as much from the force within that higher opposite as from man himself. It is a great assertion on the part of the soul, and man responds and puts his will and his force on the side of the higher of the pairs of opposites, just as Arjuna had to do, we are told, in the Battle of Kurukshetra. He was swinging between the opposites until at last he had to decisively place his will on the side of the more spiritual members of his family. So the scales tip back and forth, and neither is dominant. And hence the importance of this sign in the life expression of the man, and hence also its peculiar difficulty. I mean, it's the difficulty of uncertainty, of irresolution, of unclarity, to which the third ray can contribute, the third ray coming through Libra. It's tentative and uncommitted until. So this is, which way shall the individual go? Which way shall I go when I am at a crossroads? I have to think ahead. I have to envision both paths. Finally catching the sight of the one true path, a real vision of the one true path, and decide for that, rather than for a path which, if pursued, could lead deeper and deeper into matter. I mean, rarely is it. Usually, you know, we have more of a winding motion. We don't usually veer off and go completely to the left-hand path. We self-correct and self-correct. When we go too far in the direction of soul, too far for comfort, we often think we are correcting by coming back to the more familiar personality modes of living. But eventually, we find the way to tread a path which respects both values until it is finally decided with full resolution that the higher must prevail. Well, hence the importance of this sign in the life expression of the man, and hence also its peculiar difficulty. It provides the curious seesaw experience, which proves so distressingly bewildering, first to the man who seeks to be entirely human, but finds within himself impediments and urges which drive him on to something which is higher than the human, and secondly, to the aspirant or the disciple. His focus of interest and his aim is soul life, yet he finds within himself, it's that word yet, isn't it? Yet takes you back to toward a different pole. Yet he finds within himself that which seeks ever to draw him back to the old ways, the old habits, the old desires. Now, in the old commentary, there is that marvelous chant at the time of the third initiation in Atlantean days. Forward I rush. Let's see. Here it is. This is this marvelous eighth stanzaed ancient chant, which was chanted by the initiate at the time of the third initiation. It says, I stand between the heavens and earth. I vision God. I see the forms God took. I hate them both. Naught do they mean to me. For one I cannot reach, and for the lesser of the two I have no longer any love. He's really in a central position, and he does not know which way to go. Torn am I between two possibilities, really. Space in its life I cannot know, and so I want it not. Time in its myriad forms I know too well. Pendant I hang betwixt the two, desiring neither. Now the seesaw experience will begin, especially in these two next two verses. God from high heaven speaks. There is a change. I hear with ear attentive, and listening, turn my head. That which I visioned, yet visioning could not reach, is nearer to my heart. Old longings come again, yet die. Old chains of glamour snap. Forward I rush. So he rushes towards the higher of the pairs of opposites. Yet there is within him and within his environment that which will call him back. Myriads of voices speak and halt me in my tracks. The thunder of the sounds of earth shut out the voice of God. I turn me on my forward path and vision once again the long-held joys of earth and flesh and kin. I lose the vision of eternal things. The voice of God dies out. So that which had been within him and which was of the old world pulled him back. He is swinging between the pairs of opposites. And when the pendulum reaches that unstable condition at the end of its arc, gravity will pull it back and it will swing toward the other side. The swinging will occur constantly until a position in the center is found, and then by an act of will, the higher of the pairs of opposites is determined, and the attraction toward the lower of the pairs of opposites is seen through because the illusion is dispelled. But anyway, this goes on. The disciple is torn here backward, and here is a very important sentence about the swing between the pairs of opposites. Backward and forward shifts my little self. E'en as a bird soars into heaven and settles back again upon the tree. Yet God in his high place outlasts the little bird. Thus do I know, see, I catch a vision of the path, a true vision. Thus do I know that God will victor be and later hold my mind and me in thrall. Well, he wins, you know, he wins and achieves the third degree. But DK really describes the Libran experience and its difficulty so clearly, because one cannot be ever sure or certain. I remember a time in my life when I've always been inclined towards psychiatry and medicine and things of that nature, but always also towards the arts. So I was trying to decide whether to quit my life in the arts and go to medical school or to remain with the arts. I did end up remaining with the arts. It was the wise choice in my case. But I remember days where in the morning I swung toward this medical decision, and by the afternoon I had swung back again towards the arts, and back and forth. This went on day after day. I always hoped that there was resolution whenever I swung into the field of what I called therapeutic approach. It had never lasted, and always the gravity attracted me back towards the arts, which was, in my case, a foundation for things that were to come later. And my illusion, I think, was about the medical field. It was not for me in this life. I had certain parental conditioning and maybe even certain glamours about it. It would not have been right. The psychiatry part would have been right, but then I found that to be the case. I found a way into that via Theosophy and Master DK's work, a much better way. But still the experience was there, the swinging between these very different paths and the distressing inability to hold to one end of the pendulum or the other. I remember, you know, losing my grip on a sense of resolution when I swung towards one or the other. In each case, some reverse magnetism would drag me away from the place where I felt I had resolved the issue. It was not the way to resolve the issue at all. So I certainly can relate to this experience. Maybe it's because there is a ruling planet, in my case, in the sign Libra, or fourth ray. But I know that we've all passed through this. The curious seesaw experience and the uncertainty of it. So you, let's just say, you cannot be sure of your own mind, as it is said. One cannot be sure of one's own mind. Helpless in irresolution, no matter how hard one tries to resolve. So it's bewildering, distressing. He wants just to be human, but something, the spirit is driving him on. He wants to live the higher life. Every aspirant knows that, but something within him draws him back to matter. I turn me on my forward path, and vision once again the long-held joys of earth and flesh and kin. And I lose the vision of eternal things. The voice of God dies out. This is the human condition, and Libra contributes to it. And when Scorpio is involved, there's a fight, each against the other. Not just a change of focus, but an active fight between the two, so that man becomes a real battleground, and for a long time cannot move ahead. So engaged is he in this fight. When we get into Sagittarius and the purification has occurred in Scorpio, then we can move, pedal to the metal, and it seems the Sagittarian people are eager to move, beyond the move, and to extend themselves into the new, beyond the realm of stagnation and conflict. So we do find within ourselves that which ever seeks to draw us back to the old ways, the rotary motion, the old habits, the old desires, so well established, so long established, pulling us back into a more limited realm from which we are prodded forth by the impulses of the spirit within us. This sign is sometimes called the place of judgment. It's interesting, you know, the fair-minded judge or the prejudiced judge, the place where we have to weigh up the evidence as carefully as possible using the analytical mind and the fifth ray, which is coming through Libra via Venus. The sign is sometimes called the place of judgment, for it is here that the decision is made and the die is cast, which separates the sheep from the goats. Aries, of course, is the ram, the sheep. The goat is Capricorn. Or those constellations ruled by Aries, the ram or lamb, and those ruled by Capricorn, the goat, whichever they are. But I suppose that all we like sheep have gone astray suggests that sheep are of the mass. And goats distinguish themselves as individual, attaining later in a spiritual sense. So the decision is made here, and you kind of wonder about the judgment day, which is coming up millions of years from now in what is called the fifth round, either the fifth chain round or perhaps the fifth scheme round. That all has to be worked out, but millions of years ahead, when a great decision will be made in our planet, and the sheep and the goats will be separated. And the goats will remain, because they have initiatory potential, they will remain with our planet, which by then will be a fully sacred planet, which makes me think, of course, that it is a fifth scheme round rather than a fifth chain round, because in order to be a sacred planet, the planet has to have taken the fifth initiation. I assume that means the fifth cosmic initiation. There's a few things that have to be sorted out there. So, the sheep, the constellations ruled by Aries, I suppose, are constellations which are expressing in an ordinary manner. And the goat-like expression, or the unicorn-like expression, is in a more spiritual manner. So maybe what we're really talking about here, and DK says this, it really marks the distinction between the ordinary wheel and the reverse wheel, and that's where the decision is being made. So, in Libra, a decision is made whether to tread the ordinary wheel or the reversed wheel. I keep on hoping that some of my little codes will take care of the longer phrases, but I haven't filled them all in. Okay, so which way do you go? The moment of truth, the moment of choice, with so much clear analysis necessary before the right decision can be made, but perhaps the intuition itself enters and speaks. I think that all of us who are studying intensively in this field have made a decision, maybe long ago, to tread the reversed wheel and to cultivate the life of the soul, to cultivate the inner reincarnating self, to identify with that which is not elemental, but to use the elementals as instruments. I think we've all been in a position to make that choice, and maybe a number of us have been through the tests and trials of Scorpio and have definitely focused our force within that which the soul wills. In the days before Leo Virgo were divided into two signs, Libra was literally the midway point. Now, you know, there are signs and constellations. there are signs and constellations. And if the zodiac is really a heart center of the within the head of the one about whom not may be said, well, there are going to be 12. But maybe in terms of how man responds, because signs are areas of concentrated influence, we are told, whereas constellations are galaxies of stars. So maybe in terms of how we can respond, there are at different times different numbers of signs, 8, 10, 11, and so forth, because man has not built up the capacity to respond to every one of the 12 areas of that great heart chakra we call the zodiacal wheel. But if we do bring Leo and Virgo together, then we have five, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, five, then Libra at the midway point, and then Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, another five. Interesting, then, a zodiac of 11, maybe eventually a zodiac of 10, again. So the situation was then as follows, we are told. Yes, and just as I have now attempted to describe it, or at least to speak it, Leo Virgo, a sphinx indeed, the fusion of the body of the lion and the head of the woman, connected with the mystery of higher mind, the Tibetan tells us. And in this round of the zodiac, and what do we mean by the round of the zodiac, as far as humanity is concerned, you have depicted the entire history of the race. Well, he also told us that the history of the race was embodied in the numbers 1, 4, 8, and 11, involving different signs that are here given. Do we mean by a round of the zodiac a turning, a gyrating of the Earth's pole, creating a 25,000-year-plus cycle, or do we mean something still greater? Or is the round of the zodiac having to do with some kind of rotation of the great wheel itself, even though there are problems with that rotation, because the wheel of the zodiac is not really a wheel. Some of the constellations are much closer than others. Some of the stars are incredibly far away, and so they could not maintain their constellational integrity unless the outermost stars were revolving at an incredible rate of speed and the innermost stars much slower. I don't think we have anything to really prove that at the moment. But let us see how he describes this entire history of the race. I think when we study Libra, we're going to find a number of abstract issues emerging because of its third ray, and because it must look in both directions and make important decisions based on as much evidence as possible. The third and fifth ray, both, I think, emerge. So in this 11-fold division with Libra in the center, you kind of wonder whether we have the sheep on one side, Aries through Leo Virgo, and the goats on the other, Scorpio through Pisces. Certainly the climactic results of human evolution are achieved, for the most part, in the Scorpio through Pisces area. One becomes the triumphant disciple and the one-pointed disciple and initial initiate, and one becomes the true initiate in Capricorn and the higher initiate in Aquarius, the true world server, and finally the world savior in Pisces. These are the climactic achievements. So let's see the entire history of the race. This involves its mental beginnings in Aries, the will to manifest. I come forth, and from the plane of mind I rule. The will to manifest, and that is a movement downward. Let form again be sought. Of course, Aries also, interestingly, is a sign I think we can reasonably associate with the seventh initiation, the resurrection, the rising up to the logoic plane, free from all the trammels of even the five planes of superhuman evolution. So anyway, this involves the mental beginnings in Aries, the will to manifest, and the start of the outgoing life. Outgoing means an exteriorization. It's not an internalization that eventually occurs. You have its directed desire in Taurus, producing manifestation. The word directed desire is interesting, and I think if we go back here to the type of light that we find in Taurus, maybe we'll find a hint. So this is 332. Whoa, too many. Too many figures. Okay, 332. And it says, Taurus rushes blindly until Sagittarius directs, but in 329, Taurus, the penetrating light of the path, this is a beam of light, a beam of light, streaming forth from the point of Aries and revealing the area of light control. So the idea of the beam is here, correlating with, I think, directed desire, focused desire, producing manifestation. Desire produces ever manifestation. Without desire, there is no manifestation. Then emerges its dual consciousness. Dual consciousness of the incarnating consciousness in Gemini, or the soul-body realization. The intuition of the soul can come in Gemini. It is one of the intuitive signs. And there is this sense of the pairs of opposites, the great duality. There are many other kinds of dualities which come into focus before soul-body is truly realized as the foundational duality we have to deal with as human beings. And then the processes of physical incarnation go forward in Cancer. So here we ground ourselves in elemental matter, in a highly focused vehicle. Then, followed by the dual development of the soul-body, or the subjective and objective consciousness, and the God-man in Leo-Virgo. This is an interesting statement of what Leo-Virgo together would be like. The dual development of the soul-body, or the subjective and objective consciousness, and the God-man in Leo Virgo. Now, who's the God, who's the man? I think in one way we can say that, I mean, this can be reversed, of course, but we can say that Leo is the man, the most human of all signs, the self-conscious lower ego. And Virgo is the Christ principle, who is the sun god emerging within the womb of matter. So Virgo brings in the soul consciousness. Now, of course, you can reverse this, but if we stick to this order, it's man and God. If we reverse it, we have Virgo representing matter and the elemental nature, and Leo representing the powerful expression of the soul. But I think the first is correct in this context. So there is the sense of identity as a duality, and not just a fleeting impression of this duality, such as we get in Gemini, but well established in the Sphinx. And this is a great riddle. The Sphinx asks riddles. What? Who are you? I am both God and man. Man and God. This can be answered by the one who passes through the Leo-Virgo experience. I am both God and matter. I am both the evanescent personal man and the enduring Christ man, the man of the heart. I am both. Next comes Libra, wherein the point of balance is eventually reached between spiritual man and personal man. Okay. And the stage is laid for the final fivefold process. Okay. But let's look at it this way. A balance is reached. Sometimes, interesting how time is involved here, Saturn being the preeminent ruler of Libra and the lord of time, there's an oscillation from time to time, being the spiritual man at times and the personal man at times. A gentle oscillation occurs, and sometimes perhaps the ability to embrace both in a kind of divine marriage or type of soul infusion where man knows himself to be both. But until the real battle in Scorpio has occurred, the possibilities of that full soul infusion are probably rejected, because I think the personality will try to remain what it is and the soul what it is, and the personality will not really allow the infusion. And yet at a higher turn of the spiral, I do believe that Libra is connected with the divine marriage and thus with a merging. But this is already when man knows himself to be the soul and the personality is the instrument of the soul. So Libra in this sort of 11-fold sequence represents the point of balance, and it's eventually reached between the spiritual man and the personal man, and the stage is laid for the final fivefold process, which is, in reality, the subjective correspondence to the outer externalization upon the path of outgoing. So the first five are preliminary, and the second five follow upon it and move inward, understanding that the kingdom of heaven is within. Okay, we've reached that point where I will again say, okay, that's in a way we can stop it here. And we can say that this is the end of esoteric astrology. D. And this is page 230. And we will continue with Leo Virgo and giving way to Libra and to the subjective fivefold sequence, page 230. Okay, and then we begin. Okay. Whoa. This is not at all what I had in mind. Page 230. Now begin EAA 80 E. Page 230.